Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Hour number two of the program here. Chris Thomas hanging out with you until 2 o'clock this afternoon. I am live from Grindhouse Burgers in Athens. We are hanging out. Already met a couple of DGD fans, and we are doing the damn thing, right? 2 hours just about until kickoff of the G-Day game. We got the dog walk taking place in less than an hour from now as well, so I'll keep you abreast, as they like to say, on everything going on in regards to G-Day. Had a great conversation with Aaron Murray last hour. Thank him for joining the show, and he is going to be calling the action today on TV, so make sure you check him out, the former standout dog QB. If you missed it, though, there is a bit of a damper on today. I can't explain to you what a picture-perfect day it is outside, but we did get a little bit of a gray cloud to start the show, as it was officially announced that Spencer Strider did have a surgery, an internal brace surgery on his UCL. He will be out for 2024 and hopefully back sooner in 2025 because of the type of surgery he chose to have over the traditional Tommy John. So that is just a little bit of a damper, but everything else, good vibes all the way, all day long. I see the coverage getting started on TV. I am absolutely pumped. So with that said, let's get some questions about our dogs with Five True or False and Orn.
It's time for five true or false questions on the other side of the glass. Which teams in the ATL will thrive? Which teams will make you scratch your head? On Sports Radio 92.9, The Game.
Alrighty. Let's start here with, we're not going to start with the big one. We're going to start with a question that has not been answered for the Dogs since the 2019 season. DeAndre Swift. A trivia answer here, the last dog to rush for more than 1,000 yards in a season, the 2019 season. So my first question to you, sir.
That's a good nugget to start
there
with.
There you go. True or false, the Dogs will have a 1,000-yard rusher in the 2024 season.
Ah, see, this is tough, right? Because that's contingent upon how many, if any, games is Mr. ETN going to miss, right?
That's one part of it,
misses,
yeah.
If he misses two or three games, my answer is going to be no. If he misses one game, I think it's going to be close. I think he had, what do you have, about 850 last year, something along those lines. Mm-hmm. So he came close at Florida. I think he could do it behind this Georgia offensive line and with Carson Beck at quarterback. But if he misses the Clemson game, if he misses the Tennessee Tech game, maybe even the Kentucky game, I think that's just going to be an uphill battle for him to climb. So I'm going to say tentatively no, because I think there's a real chance he gets knocked for more than one game.
Fair enough. All righty. Let's stay on this side of the football right now. Carson Beck maybe not necessarily came out of nowhere last year. Everybody knew he was a talented guy, and you heard about how strong his arm was while behind other quarterbacks there, behind Stetson Bennett. But, you know, had a great season last year. All the accolades, decides to come back to Athens for his senior season. Yes, next year, got a Lambo, which is always nice. Carson Beck.
Much to the chagrin of a lot of UGA fans.
Much to the chagrin of a lot of people, yes. Not just UGA fans, just people in general. But Carson will be one of the four Heisman finalists at the end of the 2024 season.
I'm going to give it – you ready for a little spicy take here, Oren?
I like spicy
takes. If he's not, something went horribly wrong.
Oh.
Because he is absolutely set up right now to be a Heisman Trophy finalist. He should be positioning himself, as I said a little earlier in the show, to be a top five, top ten pick in next year's NFL draft. So if that's not where things have shaken out, I think it's either an injury or, again, just catastrophic, inconsistent play from the guy that's supposed to be leading the charge. Like, this Georgia season and the success of it is largely being based upon the fact that he returned, right? So he's got to produce, and he's got to produce in a really big way. The offensive line is there. The skill positions are there. The running back room is there, despite the trouble for ETN. And, you know, with some less than maybe UGA standard players spackling some of the places in the defense, I wouldn't be surprised if Georgia gets into more high-scoring games this year, which means he needs to step up, man, in a big way.
All righty. We'll stay on the offensive side of the ball again here. Georgia just lost a stud at Brock Bowers here, a three-time All-American, just a guy who, don't ask Mark Ross about his ability to get open or not be schemed for. But
you know, Oren, before you ask the question, man, the longer we've been stewing on that, the more angry I'm getting, man. That was such a clown, garbage take.
It really
like,
was.
Like, he must have thought, well, I'm going to go on in Atlanta and I'm going to jab, you know, the guy from their state, and I'm going to take, you know, an unnecessary shot at him. No, like, that's just a hot take to have a hot take. Like, literally, Oren, nobody else is saying that right now.
Nobody
except
is.
For Mark Ross. Sorry, Mark Ross. You know, I think that you are dead wrong, sir. Sorry, I went off on a little tangent there, but continue.
No, it's okay.
Sir. Just had to get that off.
It's okay. We'll go to the guy who backed up Brock Bowers last year, Oscar Delp. He is the next UGA All-American at tight end. True or false?
Ooh, wow, that's a tough one. All-American?
All-American. That's what they breed down there at tight end at UGA. They breed All-Americans at tight end.
No, and he showed flashes. I think because of the other weapons that they have on the outside and because ETN's coming in to be the bell cow back, I don't know if he'll get all of the opportunities that Brock did for all those years, but you never know, because if he develops that connection early on with Carson Beck and he becomes that security blanket type player that Brock was at times for Stetson, maybe. I mean, it's definitely not out of the realm of possibility, but, Oren, you are setting the bar very, very high there. I'm going to say no, but he's still going to be a damn good player.
The guy who intrigues me at that position maybe is not Delp, but the guy they got at Stanford, Ben Jurosek. Interesting to see how he fits in the mix next year with that tight end room. And I don't, you know. It's always good to have more weapons on the offensive side of the football, because more weapons means guys are going to be, you know, a lot more open on the outside. So just interesting to see if that addition right there is going to help or it's going to hurt Oscar Delp and his
Well, the flip side of that coin too, right, Oren, is that there's going to be less targets to go around.
That's
if you
also
get
true. That's so true. The last two, well, excuse me, not last season, but the two seasons before then, much was made about UGA's front seven. Those guys up front, the pass rushers, how often, how well they got, how efficiently they got after the quarterback. Last year maybe was a bit of a step back. We thought that maybe Mykael Williams would take a step forward as a pass rusher. Didn't quite go the way that we thought it would, but it's a new year, new season, new depth, new pieces on that defensive side of the football. So my question to you is, true or false, the Dogs will lead the SEC in sacks in 2024?
Ooh, that's another good question. Man, you know what I'm noticing a theme here, Oren, is with your first couple of questions here?
What's that?
I got to put a lot of faith in some guys that I haven't seen it from before.
Okay.
And that's a new theme for this Georgia squad this year. Like, the familiar faces, some of them are back, obviously Carson Beck, but we know guys like Dylan Bell that I talked about with Aaron Murray in the last hour. There are guys that are familiar faces, but there are also a lot of guys that
Georgia's
going to be counting on, yeah, to have big seasons that are relative unknowns in the state of being an established, dominant college football player. So to ask if they're going to lead the SEC in sacks, I mean, how do they stack up against some of the more veteran squads in the conference? That's going to have to be my question, right? I mean, I'm going to say, of course, they have a shot to do it, but I'm going to say, no, they don't.
Okay. Well, I hope if they don't lead the SEC in sacks, they can do enough up front to affect the quarterback to where they are that aggressive mindset defense that they were the previous two seasons when they won national championships.
And that, Oren, is exactly why I asked Aaron Murray about Nazir Stackhouse, because I think he's going to be tasked as the big guy in the middle to do some of what the Jalen Carters and the Jordan Davises of the world were so elite at that made them top draft picks in the NFL. I don't think he's the same type of player as them, but he's going to be tasked with being a player on this defense that's going to ask, you know, he's going to have a tough assignment week in and week out, and he's going to have to show up on the overwhelming majority of weeks for this team to have a chance to be dominant on defense like they have been. And again, just sort of the overwhelming narrative around this segment has been maybe, let's see it. Maybe. So again, I don't think Georgia's at risk of losing five games this year. That's not what I'm saying at all. They're going to be in the mix for the SEC. They're going to be in the mix for the college football playoff year in and year out as they have been. But I just think we may be holding our breath in a couple more games than the cakewalks that were the past couple of years.
All righty. I'm not going to ask you wins and losses. I'm not going to ask you, are they going to win the SEC? But true or false, sir, the Dogs will be in the playoffs at season's end?
Well, first of all, me and you are going to be doing wins and losses coming up later in the show.
That's why I didn't do that. There you go. Yes.
You better buckle down for that, good sir, because that is my favorite thing to do in the football season before it starts, is the all-important, never-delivering, always-under-promising win-loss-loss-loss-win-loss-loss game. It's my favorite game to play, so we're going to do that a little bit later in the show. Yeah, I think they make the college football playoff. They're still good enough. Again, this is not me saying that this is going to be a season where Georgia takes a step back and is no longer one of the three or four best programs in the country. I just think with their schedule, with a lot of new faces coming in, with guys asked to take on bigger roles than they did last season, I just don't think it's going to be an absolute cakewalk like it was in previous years. And that's okay. You know what? Maybe that's the difference between what puts them over the edge and not. Maybe we're looking at this team come January and February and saying, damn, you know what? That game against Kentucky, that game against Auburn or Ole Miss, where they won, you know, 30-28, that game was what put them over the edge come playoff time, because they were able to establish a winning mentality that previous teams, quite frankly, Oren, they didn't really have to do the majority of the time. Georgia basically didn't play a tough game until the playoffs in a lot of these seasons. But now I think, again, you're going to be looking at games that are going to be a little tighter, and that'll help forge their identity as a winning program that Kirby has established for the past, you know, 4 or 5 years now. So I actually think it could wind up being a good thing for them. As a matter of fact, Oren Romaine.
All right. That's all I got, sir.
All right. Appreciate you. Good job on that. Again, we're going to do a little win, loss, 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 win, loss, loss game coming up in the show. Producer Six Pack as well. But coming up next, we got to switch gears a little bit, because I have some questions for our guy, Caleb Johnson, because the Atlanta Hawks are in a very, very precarious situation right now. They got one game left in the regular season. Then they got a play-in game. Then they have potentially another play-in game. Then potentially a playoff series. And if, I mean, I don't think there's going to be anything more than that, but hey, you never know. And then the offseason's going to come around, and oh, it's going to be, as Carl Dukes likes to say, nut cutting time for the Atlanta Hawks. And who's going to stay? Who's going to go? We'll talk about that next with Caleb Johnson. It is G-Day. Chris Thomas here with you at Grindhouse Burgers in Athens till 2 o'clock. Come say hi, come drink a brew, and have a burger with your boy on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game in the Odyssey app.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Back with you here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, live from Grindhouse Burgers in Athens, taking you up until 2 o'clock. Chris Thomas hanging out with you here. Go follow me on Twitter at CThomasRadio if you want to interact about G-Day or the Falcons. We're going to take more of your calls later in the show about this QB situation. Some of you guys and gals out there just have me falling out of my seat with your take about where the Falcons should draft a quarterback, and I will revisit that conversation. Had some great calls earlier in the show. But right now, we got to talk a little Hawks, because they played a game last night that they shouldn't have been as close as they were. Frankly, they fought back and they scrapped. So let's talk to our buddy Caleb Johnson. Caleb, first of all, appreciate it as always. Second of all, man, that was close last night. That would have been a really nice win if they were able to pull it out.
Yeah, I think it was surprising to see them be as competitive as they were, given the fact that that fourth quarter, I mean, I won't say that they punted this one, but it was very similar to the game before against Charlotte, where this front office and this coaching staff realizes they need to get some guys some rest, especially with things, you know, we're up in the air, but now more locked in into that 10th seed. And so you want to get some young guys some time out on the court, but you were playing your end of the bench guys against Minnesota starters, because Minnesota still wants to win, and yet you were competitive right until maybe a rough sequence with Vic Kreshi and that sort of thing, of his turnover and the review and all of that sort of thing. But it was a really strong showing, and honestly, what was better to see out of that was not even the 3-point loss, because if they had gotten into a situation where, what, it was the third quarter, I think they were down by 17. Like, if you had just thrown all of that out, the minute.
Yep, did we lose Caleb there? All right, Oren, do me a favor and just reset the line with Caleb. It is Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. We're talking to our buddy Caleb Johnson, our Hawks insider for the radio station. We'll get him back up in just a second. And okay, Caleb, sorry, you cut out there. You were talking about finishing up the last night's game.
Yeah, my bad, Chris.
No, you're good.
Sorry
you're
about
good.
The call dropping. But, no, they looked really good. They looked really good in the minutes where the starters were out there, specifically, you know, with Trey and DeJounte and Clint Capella. And so, like, with the group that you're about to have starting in a play-in game, they looked really solid.
All right, so here's more of a philosophical question for you. And I actually asked this to Steve Koonin yesterday on Dukes and Bell. I asked him about potentially what they're going to look into in the offseason in terms of training regimen, in terms of their staff, in terms of nutrition, or anything that they can do to try to help prevent the rash of injuries that they seem to encounter every single year. Because at a certain point, it can't just be luck, right, Caleb? There's got to be something that can be done in some sort of training regimen, or maybe even it's as simple as somebody joked about Jalen Johnson needing new sneakers. What do you think this team could possibly do to avoid the rash of injuries that seems to plague this franchise?
I mean, the tough thing, Chris, is you say it, not related to luck or anything like that, or, you know, could be random. But then you start going through the individual injuries that happened. And I quite simply have a hard time finding where, like, we're not dealing with hamstrings. We're not dealing with, you know, with these types of things that usually comes from more like conditioning type stuff. Like, this is rolling an ankle, which could very well, yeah, be a sneaker thing. I know Jalen Johnson's been a LeBron guy for a long time. And so, I'm curious to see if maybe he goes to more of a high top sneaker or that sort of thing. But then you've got Onyeka with his toe. You got Trey with his finger. Like these are just not things that I think, you know, the training staff can really do too much about. It's just very bizarre that you see it all happen the way that it did. I think the big one, obviously, is going to be Jalen Johnson and his ankle. I really want to find out from someone if, like, is and this might sound crazy, but it's like, is tightrope surgery even in the question, just based on where, you know, us in Georgia, we heard from Brock Bowers, you know, and how that was able to help him and his ankle sprains. So I don't know how that works necessarily for basketball. I haven't heard anyone that I've asked about it. It's been kind of like, I don't really know. But it's a tough situation that I know, at least from a conditioning standpoint, yeah, they want to make sure these guys are as conditioned as possible, but these aren't the hamstring type of injuries that come from something that your training staff, you would really think, could make an impact on.
Talking with our buddy Caleb Johnson here, Hawks reporter for 92.9 The Game. Chris Thomas hanging out with you at Grindhouse Burgers in Athens, live until 2 o'clock this afternoon. G-Day underway right now. All right, Caleb. Have any of these guys, the Vic Krejcis of the world, Garrison Matthews of the world, Bruno Fernando, do you think any of those guys have worked their way into the long-term plans to be on the Hawks bench for the foreseeable future?
I mean, Chris, I think if you don't want Bruno Fernando on your team as a role player, I think you would have to be crazy. Just from a, yes, I know it doesn't always matter, but the locker room stuff, like, guys love playing with Bruno, and quite honestly, he has really done a great job in that third center role. Obviously, you know, he wasn't expected to play as many minutes as he has, clearly, because of injuries to Clint Capela and Onyeka Okongwu, but he was definitely taking hold of that role when those guys went down. And I think if you find yourself, you know, needing that third center, there's just not a better one around. The other one is, I'm very curious to see what the long-term plans are for Vic Krejcis. Chris, the Hawks are in a very strange situation right now where, because of Jalen's injury, they need Vic Krejcis on this team, but he's on a two-way deal, so he can't play in the postseason unless they do one or two things. They can convert his contract from a two-way contract to a roster spot, but they have to cut somebody. Also, if they just convert Krejcis, then he is only available to be a part of this team until the postseason ends. And then, you know, there's no long-term, way of kind of keeping him around. You could sign him to a long-term deal, but then his team right now and his agent, they have some leverage because they know that the Hawks are between a rock and a hard place with Jalen Johnson's injury. And so it's going to be very interesting to see what they do if they decide to cut a player like a Trent Forrest or a Wesley Matthews. I think it would be more likely to be Trent Forrest just because Trey is healthy now and you've got, you know, Trey and DeJounte as your healthy guards. And then, you know, Kobe off the bench if you wanted to do that. But they then, you know, last night in Minnesota, they played Vic Krejcis like, what, 8-9 minutes? So then I'm starting to wonder, are they finding themselves in a spot where maybe they don't want to attach themselves to Vic Krejcis long-term, or they think it's just the price is too high right now because they're back, you know, up against the wall. And so maybe they do go into the postseason even more, you know, it just even a tougher position at that four spot, because you think you've got DeAndre Hunter starting at the four. Beyond that, who do you go to if it's not Vic Krejcis? So it's going to be a really interesting thing. But I do think Bruno, long-term plans. I would think the Krejci, because you could get him on a team-friendly deal, keep him around towards the end of the bench. And then Garrison Matthews, he's expanded his game. He's gone from a guy who literally just pulled up and shot threes to playing better defense and putting the ball on the floor. They like his progress, and so I think he'd probably stick around too.
All right, Caleb, finish the sentence for me. The Atlanta Hawks, Chicago Bulls, if?
If they can find some offense in that game, I think it's a situation where, you know, we saw these two teams play in Chicago very recently. That went Atlanta's way. I think, you know, they didn't have Trae Young in that one. And I think if Trae is able to shoot the ball well, if this team is able to shoot the ball well, I think they'll be just fine against Chicago. I don't know. I'm in a weird place, Chris, where I really don't fear the Chicago Bulls for this Hawks team. It's that next round that I think is going to be very much a toss-up type of situation. But then you got to throw the if in, Chris, of if they stay healthy from, you know, the guys who are available right now until that game. Because losing Jaylen and losing Onyeka for essentially what's going to be the rest of the season, because, you know, 3 and 4 weeks, I just don't see the Hawks team getting out of a first-round playoff series. And so you got to stay healthy. But then I think you've got to get some true production from Trae and DeJounte.
How serious do you think they'll give a look to moving DeAndre Hunter to the bench next season? Because, I don't know how else to say it, Caleb, but it just kind of works.
Yeah, I get that, and I know, because there's a tough spot where he works so well coming off the bench, A, because they can manage his minutes and try to prevent, you know, you talked about preventing injuries, like minutes watching is definitely a way that helps. But I think they're going to be in a tough spot just from a talent perspective and the amount of money that they want to spend. It has everything to do with who gets traded and who comes to this team as to whether that's a true viable option, because I just don't think there's a real way where they're starting Zeke Krejci in the regular season on purpose, not because of injuries, and having DeAndre come off the bench. He's just too talented, and Quinn really likes his three-point shooting because of his size, and obviously we know he's brought here because he's played really strong defense. So for all of those things, I just find it very hard to believe that long-term he's a coming-off-the-bench guy. But for sure, if he sees any injuries at the beginning of next season, then yeah, that probably would become a reality.
All right, Caleb, before I get you out of here, it is G-Day. I am here live at Grindhouse Burgers in Athens. What are your expectations for the Dogs?
Man, I'm just excited to see some Georgia football again. I think, you know, so many fans obviously are ready for higher, you know, expectations for this year. And so just getting the confidence of seeing, you know, some young positions or those big senior guys who left out, and who's going to take over those roles, but also let Carson sling it all over the field. Like, I just give us some Heisman hopeful type of energy is really what I want to take away from today.
All right, that's a good stuff right there. Yeah, I think all of us are collectively holding our breath till that first game against Clemson coming up on August 31st. All right, Caleb, appreciate it as always, man. Enjoy the weekend.
Yeah, have a good one.
All right, that is Caleb Johnson, our intrepid Hawks reporter here at Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. All right, when we get back, got a really good conversation for you. Mike Bell and I had a great conversation with Seth Emerson of The Athletic covering the Dogs. We went pillar to post on G-Day, on the roster, on Carson Beck, on the defense. Every question you want answered is going to be coming up next. So don't go anywhere. Chris Thomas hanging out with you at Grindhouse in Athens till 2 o'clock. The Dog Walk getting underway in less than 20 minutes, and we'll keep you up to date on the Masters later in the afternoon as well. And also, again, if you missed it, Spencer Strider is undergoing, actually, he did undergo a brace surgery to repair his UCL. He elected that type of surgery in hopes of getting him back earlier in 2025. So a little dark cloud on an otherwise beautiful day here in Athens. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game of the Odyssey app.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice cold reward. Medela is the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
It is G-Day here in the A and beyond in the great state of Georgia. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Chris Thomas hanging out with you until 2 p.m. at Grindhouse Burgers in Athens. Got some people rolling through already. Had to unfortunately break the news to one Braves fan about Spencer Strider. But today is going to be a good day. Go Dogs all day long. Dog walk taking place in about 10 minutes. And then the G-Day game at 1 o'clock. And if you want all the intel you need to know about the Georgia Bulldogs this season, well, I have a treat for you. Yesterday, Mike Bell and myself got a chance to catch up with one of the best in the business. Seth Emerson covers the Dogs for The Athletic. And the first thing we asked him about is who or what position group do we need to keep an eye on the most when they hit the field?
I don't know. There's just not much drama about Georgia's spring. You know, something that which means that something tomorrow may stick out that's unexpected. I the quarterback situation is set. They're deep at receiver. They're deep on the O-line. They've got a lot of talent on defense, but it's young talent. I think that's probably what I will watch is the defense and see which young guys may be ready to make a step this year. There's some competition at the cornerback spots, but it has been a kind of a drama-free spring, and that's the way Kirby Smart likes it.
Seth, when it comes to the running back room, if ETN gets suspended a game or two, who would then become the bell cow back?
Roderick Robinson has become kind of the guy that emerged this spring. By default, they have three freshmen in, and Andrew Paul was hurt or coming back from injury last year. Branson Robinson is still hurt. So it would probably be Roderick Robinson. But they go seven deep scholarship wise, except Branson Robinson probably won't be ready for, you know, maybe it's the kind of thing where I think they, because of their depth, they'll be able to bring him in as the season goes on and actually could benefit them. He would have fresh legs going into what could be a 12-team playoff grind. So that could work in their benefit. But at the early start, yeah, I think they lean on the passing game a little bit more. But you've got to have enough of a running game that the other team has to worry about the running game a little bit and not focus all on the passing game.
Seth Emerson's with us, guys, from The Athletic, covers Georgia football, and he joins us on the WadeFord.com hotline. Yeah, he mentioned ETN, who we're trying to figure it out. Three games, you think, at the end of the day? I know you'd have the Clemson game, which, again, is a wild card. What Clemson team's going to show up at Mercedes-Benz? Out-of-conference opponent, and then Kentucky in the SEC. I mean, I know if ETN had a clean, you know, sheet down in Gainesville, I don't know how the courts will approach this here in Athens, but obviously with the recent history, the optics are so bad.
I would bet one game. That's what the UGA policy is. I don't know if they'll do it anything above and beyond that. Kirby could always do that, but the indications we've been getting have been one game, and you know he doesn't have a history of anything as far as we know. I mean, they could even choose to make the suspension for week two. I'm not certain that he will be out the Clemson game.
Huh.
They're going through the process right now, and I think they should suspend them for the Clemson game. They should announce the suspension. I said that last year when they were going through everything, but they did not announce a suspension for Marcus Rosemy Jack Saint, but he did sit out the opener, but that was also – it was UT Martin. It wasn't Clemson, so – you know, this administration has kind of had Kirby's back, and they might give him the leeway to say, yeah, you'll suspend him, and he'll be suspended. Like, I'm 90% sure he's going to be suspended. Like, Kirby Smart almost said it. He just stopped himself from saying it. Right. But which game and how many games, I'm not sure.
When it comes to Carson Beck, Seth, how much of the offense is going to be 100% turned over to him and unleash the potential of the offense, or do you think there'll be times this season where they try to grind through games?
Like I said, they need to have enough of a running game that, you know, that's when the passing game is at its best. And, you know, they'll lean more on the passing game, which they've done the last couple years, but they still do that by establishing the run at least enough so that you can do play action. And, you know, you don't want – what did Nick Saban do in the SEC championship? After that first drive, he said, all right, we're going to play too high safety, and we're going to try and take away, you know, the ability to hit on the big play and the deep ball, even the intermediate ball. And when Georgia wasn't able to run the ball consistently, then that was ball game. And so Georgia can't give up on the running game. But you do lean on your strengths, and clearly the strength is Carson Beck in the passing game, and it's a diverse group of receivers. Even without Bowers and McConkey, they've got some really good weapons there. But you know, if the other team figures you're going to throw and you're basically facing an air raid type offense, they eventually can focus on that and stop it. That's not Georgia's offense. It's not a Kirby Smart offense. Kirby Smart offense is take what the defense is giving you, and so you need to have enough of a running game that you can be two-dimensional.
Do you feel that with the expanded playoffs, Seth, that you could lose two games and beat Georgia and still be in this thing?
With their schedule, almost certainly.
Right.
Some people have said 9-3, and I don't know about that as I gamed it out. Like, there's enough other teams that might be 10-2. That probably wouldn't get it done, because if you go 9-3, then everyone's like, oh, you have three good losses probably. Yeah, but who are your good wins? So you might have, if you have more good losses than good wins, that might not be enough to get you in. But if Georgia goes 10-2 and the teams on their schedule are as we expect, then that would, on paper right now, you'd say almost certainly they're getting it.
A lot of depth on the defensive line, Seth, but is it Jordan Davis and Jalen Carter type? It doesn't seem to me that there's that guy that was the disruptor those two were during the national championship runs. Or is there a guy you think could be a breakout in that realm?
I don't think there is. Not at that level. They were hoping Nazir Stackhouse could be that guy last year. He didn't quite take that step. He could. There's Jordan Hall, who was a freshman last year, got a little bit of playing time, who could be that guy. But I think they're hoping that it's more a collective
effort, that they're a little bit better in a bunch of spots. The Stackhouse is a little bit better. Christian Miller takes a step. Jordan Hall takes a step. You get a full season from defensive end Tyrion Ingram Dawkins. And that, by the way, maybe you're really good at outside linebacker with Mikel Williams moving there. It's more going to be that than like expecting that this is going to be the D-line of right. between 2019 and 2020.
It's the Athletic. Seth Emerson with us, guys, live from a blustery Athens today here on Dukes and Bell. And I know, remember last spring we were joking around with you about Mike Bobo and everybody freaking out. Oh, no, it's Bobo. And they didn't beat Alabama because they couldn't get Jalen Milroe on the ground. What about the offense?
Yeah. I mean, yeah, that's the thing. It goes both ways. I there are people that still blame Mike Bobo for the SEC championship loss. And I don't – I mean, he didn't have a good game, but – The defense didn't either. Like, right. ultimately, it was a team loss. But, you know, the offense is on paper going to be really good. We talked about the running game needs to just be good enough to be complementary. But, you know, until the offense does it on the biggest stages, I guess you'll still have those Mike Bobo critics. But, you know, look, Todd Monken had a bad – SEC championship against Alabama in 2021, but he got another shot. Mike Bobo didn't get another shot because just of the quirks of the differences between the 2021 and 2023 seasons. If Georgia is in the SEC championship game next year, they'll almost certainly either be 11-1 or 12-0. And if they lose that game, they will get another shot because we're in an expanded playoff.
I know he can't be Brock Bowers because nobody can be, but can Oscar Delp be enough of a security blanket for Carson Beck?
Yeah, you know, he's one of those guys that probably as the second tight end last year, and he was the third tight end 2 years ago when Darnell Washington was there, he just kind of doesn't look good when he is there next to Brock Bowers. Like, nobody could look good because Bowers was just spectacular. Mm-hmm. But they're telling Oscar Delp, you don't have to be Brock Bowers, just be yourself. They're also bringing in, at the end of this semester, the transfer from Stanford, Ben Juracek, who, you know, he's one of those guys that maybe you put him in a better offense and he's better than his numbers were and Stanford. And so they've got depth there. They got Lawson Lucky. They brought in a couple freshman tight end too. So, but the tight end doesn't have to be the focal point this year. The wide receivers are deep, and this Colby Young kid transfer from Miami has gotten a lot of buzz this spring. Dominic Lovett is back and people kind of just forget about him.
Right.
Georgia's second leading receiver. And you know, just Ra-Ra Thomas, if you can get a full year from him, a lot of guys, and Dylan Bell, he's a guy who could take a step up. So they're really good at receiver. So the tight ends don't have to be the bell cow anymore in the receiving offense.
Great stuff there from our buddy Seth Emerson of The Athletic right here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game as we preview G-Day live here from Grindhouse Burgers in Athens. Chris Thomas hanging out with you till 2 o'clock this afternoon right here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Now, I am very excited, Oren, because next segment we are going to do something that is an annual tradition unlike any other, and that is the always famous, always underperforming and over-delivering win-loss-loss win loss, win, loss game.
I'm so excited.
We're gonna take, I am pumped to do this every single year, both with the Falcons and with the Georgia Bulldogs. We're going to take a look at every single game, and we are going to tally the wins and the losses for your Georgia Bulldogs and predict what we think their record is going to be. Now, as I said at the start of the show, it's not going to be the cakewalk that it has been the past couple of years for the Dogs. They have really, really, really amped it up in terms of who's going to be on that schedule, including trips to Alabama and Texas. And if you somehow can manage to win both of those games, you are in the catbird seat for the college football playoffs. But I think that is going to potentially be a tall task for the Dogs. We shall see. And in terms of the players, again, guys I'm watching today, Nazir Stackhouse right in the middle of that defense, trying to replicate as close most of what he can to the likes of Jalen Carter and Jordan Davis. I'm looking at Malachi Starks as he continues to recover from an injury, and he's going to be a leader in the back end of that secondary. And, of course, we're looking at Carson Beck, the leader of the franchise, the guy who decided to come back and do it all over again for the Dogs as he tries to establish himself as one of the best ever dress out Heisman Trophy candidate. I think he will be one and a potential top 10 pick in the NFL draft. I think he has a chance to do that as well. So when you look at the Georgia Dogs as a whole, they are still a powerhouse in the NCAA. But that schedule is a beast. Again, they're going to be challenged week in and week out a lot more than they have been in previous seasons, and I don't think it's going to be 31-10 in every single game. That defense is going to have to step up in big moments, and Carson Beck and all those weapons that Seth Emerson was just talking about, they're going to have to deliver, and they're going to have to deliver in a big way, especially if there's no Trevor Etienne the first couple weeks of the season. That's going to be a huge blow. We're all waiting on bated breath for Kirby to make that announcement. He has a couple more weeks to do it. I guess he could take it all the way up if he wants, but I think for game planning purposes and everything else of the like, it'd be better to get that punishment, if there is one, out of the way. And I know all Dog fans are waiting, just like I am, on that news to come down. All right, when we come back, like I said, the win-loss-loss-loss win game. I am pumped, and you should be too. What is the Georgia Bulldogs record going to be in 2024? Don't go anywhere. We're halfway home with you here on a beautiful, gorgeous Saturday here in Athens at Grindhouse Burgers. Chris Thomas hanging out with you till 2 o'clock this afternoon. Don't go anywhere. Sports Radio, 92.9 The Game and the Odyssey app.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.